Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Israel says its war aim is the destruction of Hamas. Is that even realistically possible? Does destroying Hamas entail the destruction of the Palestinian people in Gaza? Then there's the question of who will rule Gaza after the war. So many questions without answers. Crosstalking Palestine, I'm joined by my guests, Lucas Gage and Brick. He is a Marine veteran, author, and philosopher. In Worthing, we have Anthony Weber. He is an independent political commentator. And in London, we cross to Youssef Allo. He is a Palestinian journalist, writer, and political analyst from Gaza. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. All right, let's go to Youssef in London. We have had in the last couple of news cycles, we've talked about the cost of this war in terms of casualties. And it's really kind of ironic that casual and casualty are kind of similar in spelling, but they're very, very opposite here. But there is a casual talk about casualties. The Israelis have told the Americans, you know, there's going to be mass casualties, and the Americans appear to be in lockstep with this, with American-made weapons. The Pentagon has already come out and said Israel will do what it wants with the American-made weapons that it's purchased. So at the end of the day, the United States is very much culpable with the military operation against Gaza, and we can't forget about the people that are being persecuted in the West Bank. Go ahead in London.
Yes, thank you for having me. Let me start by saying that we Palestinians, we did not ask to be a Palestinian. We just got lucky. Israel justifies its killing of the civilian population in Gaza that this is the cost of war, collateral damage. We Palestinians, we are not people of a lesser God. Israel has sabotaged the international system by violating the Western values of democracy and peace and so on. And the West, by the way, will take decades to recover from these things that Israel has been doing to the mankind. Now, what we know that Israeli army officials, they keep lying, justifying that Hamas exists under a Jabalia refugee camp or under tunnels, but there is nothing justifies these mass killings, the ethnic cleansing, genocide, while the world is watching. Israel cannot go on with such ethnic cleansing without the approval and blind support of the United States. Because what happened on the 7th of October exposed Israel's colonization for the past 75 years. And I think Israel is suffering from an internal crisis. It was a blow. What's happening in Gaza also exposes the double standard policy of the West, the hypocrisy of the West, the United States, the United Kingdom, and those countries who are keep saying that Israel has a right for self-defense. What about the Palestinians? Who have been languishing in this misery? Why Palestinians are doomed to misery? Why we are being treated as subhumans? Why we are being demonized? Is that because Palestinians are not white?
Well, it's interesting is that this mantra, Israel has a right to self-defense. Okay, fine. But Israel is occupying Gaza and the West Bank. So it's far more complicated legally than the cliches would make it out to be. Lucas, if I can go to you, just kind of an extension of what we heard from Youssef, is that there seems to be a suspension of international humanitarian law. I mean, and the rules-based order and all of these other slogans that we hear all the time, they're all of a sudden suspended for one country under one condition. And the hypocrisy of that is glaring, and it's getting far worse because these images are just horrific. I mean, it's something you can't forget when you see it. Go ahead, Lucas.
Yeah, as you may know, I've been to Iraq twice. I was deployed there for one of these other wars that my country launched illegally into the Iraq and destroyed that nation. So I've seen death and destruction before. And what I'm seeing coming up from Gaza is death and destruction like as if it's at a war, and they're not at war. The Israelis are committing what I would say is a genocide, and several people are starting to use this word comfortably because, as you mentioned, Peter, the pictures and videos of babies and children being pulled out of rubble, these are not combatants. They claim Hamas is under every building, but I've never seen a Hamas soldier being pulled out of the rubble. We just see these people being massacred and genocided, ethnically cleansed, because that's the policy of the Zionist entity. They want to expand. They don't have this solid border for a reason. They want to keep going. The Oded Yanan plan, people, you can look that up. They want this from the Euphrates to the sea, or Nile to the sea. The entire thing that the Palestinians say they want to be free, the Israelis want the entire thing. It's the opposite. And they are more than happy to commit genocide in order to get that. Whereas they say, well, if we put our weapons down, we will cease to exist. And no, you won't. You would go back to what it was before Israel existed, which was completely fine. The Arabs and the Jews were living in peace. It's only been a problem ever since the Zionist parasite, is what I call colony, came into existence. So it's horrific what we're seeing. And it's allowed because the Zionists have captured the West, the Western media, the Western politicians. We have lobbies like AIPAC, which was trending on X the other day. These are the reasons why there's silence from the West, because they have captured, bought off, and have the American people, the people in the UK, and the West in general under their spell.
Well, Anthony, that's, we can talk about the Global South, and that's not selling it at all. I mean, we have a number of countries that started breaking diplomatic relations with Israel. The Jordanians have recalled their ambassador, and they said they will not go back until the conflict is over. I don't know how we define how this conflict comes to an end. It's very strange to me that, you know, for all the talk of Israel's military prowess and all of this, which I think is more propaganda than anything else, if they really were that, they would go in a full force with a land invasion, but they won't because they can't absorb the casualties. It's unacceptable to them. But it's acceptable if you can kill a child every single 10 minutes in Gaza. The point I'm trying to make here is that Israel likes to flex its military muscles because it knows it has the West backing, particularly the United States. But it doesn't have a political objective to extricate themselves from this problem, because this is going to stay with them for a very long time. Unfortunately, I think all four of us are going to be talking a number of times together before this conflict comes to an end. Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, yes, I agree with what you said and the two previous speakers. And it's undoubtedly true that if it wasn't for particularly the USA and the UK, the Israeli government, or rather I should say the current Israeli government, wouldn't have dared to do what they had done. And it's absolutely appalling how over the mark they've actually gone. But if you look at, say, the position of the UK, of course, the UK had the mandate for Palestine up until 1948, you'd think there would be a sense of responsibility by the UK to ensure peace between the Christian Jews and Muslims in Palestine. But instead, what we're doing is we're actually encouraging an extremist minority government in Israel to actually even work against the interests of the Israeli people, because they haven't got the Israeli people behind them. They might have some people behind them, but the reality is, what good is all this going to do for Israeli relations with the rest of the world? Or do they not actually care because they got away with so many things before? And if we look at the Hamas situation, of course, when we had the elections back in 2006, they still only had 45% of the votes. So you can't sort of argue, you can't take everything out on the civilian population of Gaza, because basically you can't say the majority of people in Gaza support Hamas either.
Well, I mean, but Anthony, let's go back to our guest in London. I mean, again, this is a convoluted argument. I mean, Joe Biden, in his infinite wisdom, and I say that with a lot of sarcasm, says, you know, the people of of Gaza don't support Hamas. Well, then why are you killing them? Why are you allowing them being killed? Okay, if that's, I mean, you see, every single argument they make is convoluted, upside down, and inside out. Go ahead.
Well, absolutely. When he says that Israel has a right for self-defense, but has to act within the international law, what kind of international law when you just intentionally kill civilians and give justifications? Gaza population, by the way, they are descendants of refugees who were expelled back in 1948 from the indigenous cities across historic Palestine. And more than half of the population are young people below the age of 20. And by the way, if Israel claims that Hamas is using Palestinians as a human shield, it is Israel that has been using Palestinians as a human shield for the past 75 years. When you deny the indigenous people of Palestine in Gaza, West Bank and Jerusalem, from their basic rights and needs, water, electricity, medical supplies, food, and also
that's the internet. That's a war crime.
Media blackout. It is, yes. And people come up with the idea of even, you know, Israel is extermination, you know, committing an extermination against people of Gaza, because Gaza is considered as a concentration camp even, because a prison, when you describe Gaza as the world's largest open air prison means that you committed a crime. But Palestinians did not commit a crime because they've been, you know, fighting for self-determination. There are innocent people being killed day and night. And Israel has no defined borders, Peter. Tell me, what are the borders of Israel? Israel, you know, keeps annexing more land. It has no constitution. And it keeps lying to the world.
What is really, you know, again, the irony of ironies, Israel is a product of the United Nations.
Colonialist power.
Yes, I mean, but you would think, since it's a creation of the United Nations, it would be incumbent upon Israel to follow resolutions of the Security Council, which they don't. Let me go back to Lucas, because you know what it's like to be in on a battlefield. I'll say exactly what I think. I'm not going to make it pretty, but for anyone, I think they want to just clear the land, and they don't care how they do it, as long as they get the backing of Christian Zionists and evangelicals and, you know, all this apocalyptic nonsense. And Israel will feed into that, and they'll say, you know what they'll say, Lucas? We did it for peace. That's going to be their slogan. Go ahead, Lucas.
Exactly. I mean, you even have Netanyahu, you know, using like Talmudic verses about Amalek and the light and the darkness, like appealing to this a religious thing, similar to how George Bush did it after 9/11, that it's a Christian versus Muslim war. And here we have this Jewish versus Palestinian war. And he's going back to ancient, you know, texts to justify his mass murder. And I've seen rabbis even say, hey, you know, this is how it has to be conducted. Men, women, children, everything's got to go. We have to raise Gaza completely. We've been nice for too long, I heard a woman say. We're being nice this whole
time. I saw that interview.
Are you crazy? You've been nice this whole time.
And she was talking to her son going into battle, apparently.
And look, this is something he said. He's like, we're going to change history. They're going all in this time. After the October 7th incursion, or whatever people want to call it, you know, Hamas finally strikes back, and the Israelis feel what they've been doing for 75 years. And I'm not justifying either one doing anything, but this is, they want to call it a war on one hand, and then it happens to them, and they start crying about, oh my God, look what happened.
We can condemn it, but we can certainly understand it.
Of course.
And not whitewash it as well. Gentlemen, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Gaza. Stay with RT.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact. Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
Most people don't understand the global financial system, and how financial resources are distributed.
Well, the dominant financial group, of course, are the United States and UK banks. Their objective is their hegemony.
Controlling the world's money flows grants the power to wipe entire nations off the face of the earth.
Главный бенефициар всей этой истории на Украине – три глобальных инвестиционных корпорации. Это BlackRock, State Street и Vanguard. Они перекрестно владеют друг другом и перекрестно владеют практически всем бизнесом на Западе.
When will the dollar die?
Il est clair que le renminbi convertible, donc le yuan, va prendre un rôle de plus en plus important. Il est clair aussi qu'un certain nombre de pays vont commercer hors de la zone dollar, ou disons en n'utilisant plus le dollar.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. This is the home edition. To remind you, we're discussing Palestine. Okay, let's go back to Anthony. It's again, I want to go back to the politics of his and the military, because, you know, they you know, we hear the rhetoric during in the fog of war. I think the defense minister Gallant said, you know, we're washing our hands of Gaza. This will be the last time we do it. A very apocalyptic language. And they're all probably secular Jews, too. I always find it very interesting, secular people using religious terminology. But it does kind of beg the question, is what's next? OK, are they going to bring in Fatah, you know, Abbas? You know, is he going to ride into Gaza on the back of an Israeli tank? I don't think he's going to be welcome there. Oh, we'll get the Egyptians to do it. The Egyptians are not going to do this. Oh, maybe the Saudis will send in a part. They're not going to do it. Nobody wants to dirty their hands on this, because it is, at the very least, ethnic cleansing. At worst, it's genocide. And who wants to be associated with that? Joe Biden, listen up. History will remember what you did here and now. Go ahead, Anthony.
Well, of course, the American military and other military off the coast of Israel and Gaza is all giving the impression that America is firmly behind whatever the Israeli government does. There's this fear that everyone in Gaza is going to end up permanently in the Sinai Desert, close to Egypt, or certainly Gaza no longer existing. But it does bring to mind the fact that three Christian churches were bombed in Gaza, and Christian leaders in Palestine as a whole have desperately appealed to Western countries to stop this slaughter. And as a number of Christians have said, who's actually standing up for the Christians in the Middle East? Because the UK and USA policies over the last few years have decimated Christians in the Middle East. And what we need to do is go back to the fact that it's quite possible for Jews, Christians, and Muslims to live together. There's records of many hundreds of years of them doing that. What we have to do is to stop these extremist people, like the current government in Israel, saying they speak on behalf of all Jewish and Israeli people, because they just don't. But the trouble is, the Biden administration, and in fact the administration in the UK, is letting them do this, and it's causing so much harm. What is the end game, of course? Because that's the problem. There's one of the parts of the end game is the reputation of the UK and the USA is going to go right downhill. It'll take us forever to recover. It's already in a bad situation because of the situation regarding Ukraine, which, of course, nobody says anything about now, but there are a lot of parallels. But you look at the civilian casualties in Ukraine over nearly a two-year period, and they're They're fairly.
Compare that to 21 days.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I will indirectly answer your question. Who's protecting Christians in the Middle East? Christians live safely and quietly in Iran. And oh, by the way, in Syria as well.
Yes.
But
yes.
Don't tell that to people because Western media likes to cover up those facts. Yosef, let me go back to you. You know, people talk about Hamas all of the time. They can have their opinion. Most people are badly informed in the West. What is it to you? Because it's a terrorist organization, it's a social organization, it's a political party. What is Hamas in your mind?
Well, Israel has been trying to magnify Hamas and transform Hamas into a monster to attract support of the international community, especially the United States. Hamas is part of the Palestinian people. They are normal people like me and you. They decided to take up arms to resist the colonialist regime, the occupation that Israel has been enjoying with impunity for the past 75 years, because they know that the peace process did not bring an end to the occupation. Oslo Accords, Arafat, the current leader Abbas, Israel has killed any chance for two-state solution. Even if you march peacefully along the border, along the border fence, I would rather, because there are no defined borders, the fence, you will be shot at. Even in the West Bank, if you march peacefully, you will shoot at settlers, fanatic, extreme settlers. They burned a Palestinian child alive with kerosene. I mean, these horrific massacres and crimes wouldn't go ahead without impunity, without a blind support from the U.S. administration. So Hamas is resisting the occupation, and they said actually they are willing to change their constitution, and they did. And they said
they did.
A Palestinian state within lands to be built in occupied lands occupied in 1967. And we know Palestinians, when you attack civilians in Gaza, Palestinians are not going to revolt against Hamas. They will become more resisting. This will create more anger, more hatred. I mean, Israel really, if it wants peace, it can have peace right now, just to recognize Palestinians' rights to exist and to allow some refugees, or all of them at least, to return back, because we've got around 7 million Palestinian refugees scattered all over the world, and it has to compensate Palestinians. The United Nations has failed us. The international community has failed us. This is this frame is a map of Palestine wrapped with Palestinian kufiyeh. And in the West, because they care a lot about Israel, they don't want to upset Israelis. They said that if you raise the Palestinian flag in the UK, it might be considered a crime. What kind of expression, I mean, honestly, double standard policy. They're sabotaging everything. They're corrupting our minds.
Yosef, but at the same time, they support Nazis in Ukraine.
And Ukrainians are allowed
to be
everywhere. Yeah.
Well, the West will always support extremist groups because it creates instability, which they can always
Israel take. Wants to finish the job that is started in 1948. It wants to finish the Nakba, the ethnic cleansing. It doesn't want to see Palestinians exist in Palestine.
Well,
pushing Gaza towards Egypt.
It's interesting, Lucas, recently over the last few years, Nakba was something that was frowned upon in Israeli discourse because you're supposed, it never happened. And, they left and, they left the keys in the door as well. They just wanted to leave. But now they're using the term again. We started out the second part of the program talking about the future, but there is no possibility. Zionism will not consonant a two-state solution. It's just antithetical to that worldview. So what do we do? That's why we have this conundrum. It's going to be one state, and it's going to be ethnically cleansed. And they're not done yet. They're not done yet. Lucas.
Yeah, that's funny you bring it up, the Nakba. They say it never happened. And, it's funny that the media always starts with everything was fine until Hamas flew over the wall.
Right.
We forget
no
about
contact.
The Nakba.
And no
this
contact.
Is similar. Similar to Ukraine, Russia. Oh, everything was fine until Putin invaded. No, there's a whole.
He just woke up in the morning and said, "Invade Ukraine."
So most Americans, as you mentioned earlier, most people in the West don't understand or know what's going on because the media starts their timeline when they want to start it, and they forget the history of the Nakba, which again, Zionist terrorist militias displaced 700,000 Palestinians from their home, committed massacres across the land, and that's how it all started. That's how Israel was founded. So people don't even know this story. And they say, that's crazy. It never happened. But now they're saying, bring on the second Nakba. We're going to finish what we started. And the Israelis are pretty much hanging themselves with this narrative, which, again, in one way, it's horrible to know that this happened. In another, it sheds light on what the Zionist entity actually is. It is this colonial parasite.
And also, Lucas, it's a stain on the conscience of the West. Because no one can say in this day and age, with the technology that we have, even though they're switching on and off the internet and the phones and all that, no one, a conscious knowing person, cannot say, I didn't know. You can't say that right now, Anthony.
Well, I think if you're looking at what's happening in Gaza, the Israeli government is taking the view that they're quite entitled to bomb here, there and everywhere to reduce their own casualties. But there are plenty of examples in the world where groups have been defeated in city areas without destroying the civilian population. And of course, it is a war crime to target civilians, as has actually happened. But if we go back to the situation with Palestine, Palestine needs, if we're going to go down the route of a two-state solution, which apparently in the UN they laugh about because they think it's got no chance at all, we've got to ensure that it is realistic. The Palestine hasn't got any armed forces, as we know. So how is it supposed to defend itself? Because it has to have the right to self-defense the same as Israel, yet it hasn't got its own armed forces. Obviously, in Gaza, there's Hamas, who have got their own sort of unofficial armed forces. But if we want to create a future, I think the governments of the world have got to guarantee the state of Palestine, that we're not going to have settler incursions and brutality, that there's going to be fairness. Now, I think a lot of Israeli citizens, if they know that they're going to be secure, they're not going to support what some of the settlers have been
doing. Yeah, but Anthony, I think that, you know, this, you know, October 7th will go down in history for many, many different reasons, but it is the failure of the Zionist project, okay? It's supposed to be, Israel's supposed to be the haven for Jews around the world. Well, they're not so safe. They're not safe in foreign affairs, and they're not safe at home right now. The Zionist project has gone bust.
Okay, it's made the situation for Jewish people throughout the world very unsafe, and it's totally reckless by the Israeli government. But then I think Zionists don't really care about ordinary Jews when it comes down to it. And there is this difference between Judaism and Zionism. And
Zionism is a bastardization of Judaism. Yeah. I want to give the Palestinian on our panel the last minute. Yes. Go ahead. In London.
I think the Zionist project is declining. All Israelis, they have dual citizenship. As soon as there is unrest and conflict in historic Palestine, they flee towards Europe. This shows that they don't have this sense of belonging to the land. Palestinians are being bombed day and light for at night for the past 25 days, and they did not move an inch from their houses. This shows that they are the true owners of the land. And I think talking about peace is a mirage. Israel is not willing to accept a Palestinian state. It's not willing to accept one-state solution. And it wants to ethnic cleanse the Palestinians out of the land. But I can tell you something. With the growing support for the Palestinian cause, with a credible media like yourself, I think there's awareness. And I think the world will not tolerate this
any longer. I couldn't have anticipated a positive end to a very tragic story that we're talking, but I'm glad we ended on that point. I want to thank my guests in Brick Worthington and in London. I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.